Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We are joined by the founder of Go Long. That's a newsletter dedicated to enterprising pro football journalism. And it's a good one at that. His name is Tyler Dunn. He joins us here on 92.3 The Fan. Hello, Tyler.
What's happening, fellas? Good to be here.
It's good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks.
We're excited. A couple different reasons we're excited to talk to you. Obviously about the piece that you wrote, but it's odd, Tyler. I don't see many people that are covering the game at the level you are that are really willing to put together at this point the article that you did. And for those that haven't caught it, we've been talking a little bit about it throughout the show. Like, the headline is "Why There's Hope for Baker Mayfield." Not many people are willing to stamp their name next to such a headline. How did this come to be? Was it just a lot of really good Andy Janovich quotes to begin with, or Scott McLuhan to begin with? And you're like, oh, I got something here. How did this come to be?
That's a great question, because it probably is a little mixture of everything. You know, I got to know Andy Janovich when I launched Go Long. Would have been November of last year. And as you guys know, he's one of one. He's just hilarious. Hit it off and talk a lot about just kicking ass and drinking Busch Lights, and that's kind of what he is. So, I gave him a call when things were really, really bad, with Baker Mayfield, with the Browns. Just thought it'd be good to get a pulse for what do the players think of the quarterback when it seemed like the world was crashing down on him at that point. And everybody kind of saw what he said, that he basically is a quarterback that would play through anything and everything and not say a word to his teammates. So I do think that in that locker room, he does have a lot of support. Now, that doesn't mean that 1 through 53 love the guy and want him to, sign a 5-6-year extension. I think there is still some skepticism. I think that with the team, it's $18 million for 1 year, right? It's a trial run. Let's see if he's the long-term answer. It kind of started with a little bit of that. It started with, talking to some people on the team side, some people on the Baker Mayfield side. And it's just a fascinating situation where, you've got a first overall pick going into that option year. Usually by now,
right,
what the team wants to do. This could go either way. I mean, it could be another name on that jersey, or this could be somebody you break the bank for.
How do we judge last year? Obviously the injury was a factor, but he still played through it, and we all respect that. But he was one of the worst quarterbacks in football last year. And you're right. I mean, he's going into year five. Typically you have a contract extension by now. And I don't think in the last 10 years, a quarterback going into year five that was a first-round pick was back with the team. So odds are stacked against him. I guess in a long-winded way to ask, I mean, how much do we judge last year?
Man, I tried to figure that out myself, and it's tough because I think only, and maybe even Baker Mayfield doesn't really know, but that injury, how much did the labrum tear to the non-throwing shoulder and the fracture and the heel and the groin and everything he was dealing with, how much did that have to do with the inaccuracies? I mean, we all saw what we saw, right? I mean, this wasn't a very good quarterback last season. And statistically, everything bears that out, but there were all these other factors. I don't know many teams that got hit by COVID as hard as the Browns did. The Odell thing, I mean, we could spend hours talking about that. So there's so many other factors here. All I'll say is I kind of take Baker Mayfield at his word when he says how much the injuries affected his the way he throws a football. And Scott McLuhan, who I talked at length with, he's really the consultant that the Browns brought in. He was on Baker Mayfield before anybody else the fall of 2017, and I think that he had a lot to say with Elliot Wolf, with John Dorsey, as they tried to figure out who to take. And he's watched his game. He's watched his throwing motion. I mean, he's adamant that the way he throws a football as a power thrower, as somebody who uses his hips, his legs, his arms, his shoulders, everything, that it did have an effect. So, hey, I'm all in. I think he was a different quarterback because we've seen it. We saw it his rookie year. We saw it when they went to the playoffs and won a game. You've seen the good. I think that good's in there somewhere.
If Scott saw that, why do you think Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry didn't see that?
I think that they're just more so in wait-and-see mode, right? Maybe they do something crazy while we're talking here. I mean, it seems like a trade's going down every hour on the hour, but I think that they do still believe, you know, cautiously to an extent. I know that the people I've talked to, I mean, they still love a lot about Baker Mayfield, and they're just being smart about it because they've seen this thing backfire. I mean, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, go right down the list. There's been a ton of quarterbacks where there's buyer's remorse, you know, right out of the chute. So they don't want to get into that situation when they've done so much else right with that roster. So I get it at 18 mil. That's a good price to have. But I think McLuhan is right when he says half of the league would take Baker Mayfield right now. I mean, my God, there are teams just scrambling right now. What Washington did to get Carson Wentz taken on that money, I mean, oh, my God. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's all of a sudden in demand. So I think the fact that this is a quarterback that is, you know, a phenomenal leader, that is somebody that took you to a place that you haven't been in two decades, there's enough there to give it another year. And when you really want to sign that dotted line, I think you can be confident doing it. But you're right. I mean, I'm sure this has taken up a lot of airtime for you because it can go either way. It really can.
How much of this is, like, from Scott's perspective, is it based off of intangibles? And same for Janovich. Like, just he's a tough guy, like, competitor. He does all, you know, does all the things like that you want a quarterback to do, at least, you know, what you think he's going to do in terms of being tough and all that stuff, as opposed to actually, like, putting it together on the field with accuracy and, you know, winning games.
I think there's always two types of football consumers, two types of fans, me, whatever. Like, I kind of lean on that direction of all that stuff that you can't measure on an Excel spreadsheet matters. Like, it's a tough game played by tough people. There's so much violence. There's so many injuries. It's just different than basketball and baseball and high. I don't know. It's a different sport. And if you're the quarterback and you're playing through these things and you're doing what he's doing behind the scenes, I feel like, you know, if Scott McLuhan, he was careful to put it this way, and he was around Brett Favre from 94 to 99. Mm-hmm. Favre is the extreme example. He's a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, he had all of that to him that, yeah, he had a strong arm, and he had all, you know, he could throw a football. He could do things physically other people couldn't, but it was that start streak. It was just ingratiated himself to teammates, and it elevated everybody around him. I've talked to some players that played with Brett Favre, and, I mean, Leroy Butler, Antonio Freeman, these guys, they run through a freaking wall for the guy. I mean, and that matters. If you can elevate people to another level, I get it. It's hard to get people to buy into that because you can't necessarily see it on film or measure it, you know, analytically. But I think in this sport, it absolutely matters. And I think to a degree, Baker Mayfield has it in ways other quarterbacks do not. I mean, what do you hear out of Indy with Carson Wentz? It's a lot of bad stuff you usually don't hear. I mean, I get it. After they trade him, he's gone. But holy cow, Zach Kiefer wrote an incredible story at The Athletic about what they really think about his leadership. I don't really think you'd hear that kind of stuff coming out of Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. And I think eventually if he's healthy, that's number one. If he can stay healthy, if he can throw the ball the way he has at times in year one and year three, he is somebody worth that contract.
Talking with Go Long's Tyler Dunn here. He wrote the article, Why There's Hope for Baker Mayfield. And one thing I like that you touched on is I feel like I'm always yelling into, I don't know, just a microphone that no one wants to pay attention to. When I tell people, like, last year, you know, Jarvis was the only wide receiver worth anything from week 9 on. And he told you already he was limited. Like, he was injured himself. I feel like there's so many areas with the wide receivers and some of the routes you touched on with OBJ that even beyond Baker's injury, he wasn't really set up for success last season.
Oh, my God. I mean, we haven't even gotten into that. It's so true. And he obviously, he would never say it. Nobody would ever say it. Andy Janovich, he wouldn't take the bite. But let's face it. Look at that receiving core compared to literally any in the NFL. It wasn't very good. You don't have players that can get separation. And that matters. And I know that we all saw the Odell Beckham video of him wide open and Baker Mayfield missing him. But I think that a handful of those routes. You know, it's not necessarily what was called. It's not necessarily what he was supposed to do. And in Kevin Stefanski's offense, with how it's so based on timing, that matters. You know, living in Buffalo, New York, there was a stretch with the Bills where Stephon Diggs was kind of doing his own thing this past year. You know, they lost to Jacksonville. They got thumped by Indianapolis. It was pretty bad for a bit. And I think these alpha receivers, you need some of that. You know, you need some of these receivers that are going to do their own thing. But they better be on the same page as their quarterback if they're going to freelance. And for whatever reason, Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, it never worked out. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, it has worked out. It's a huge if, but they've got to get that right somehow this month. I don't know who the player is, what the move is, but I think that they signed somebody. And then I think in the draft, I mean, this draft is loaded at receiver. You could get two starters, as McLuhan was saying.
Yeah, but you mentioned Buffalo, and I want to bring it back to a part of your piece that really kind of struck me in an interesting way. When you went into the sense you've gotten is that Mayfield wants more intel on the Browns before marrying into a 4 or 5 year deal, and then you say there's a good chance Mayfield wants a clear sense for where the Browns are headed as a franchise before signing anything, because it's also fair to wonder how things would have unfolded if Allen went to Cleveland and Mayfield was in Buffalo. Do you believe Baker Mayfield, if he was in Buffalo, would have some of the claims to top 5, top 10 quarterback the way Josh Allen currently does?
You know, I don't know if I'd go. I'm not sure he'd be second in the MVP voting like he was a year ago. I'm not sure if he's, you know, he should have won the Super Bowl last year. I mean, he had a head coach that just blew it those 13 seconds. I'm not sure if he's at that level, you know, athletically, because Josh Allen's just different. I mean, he can throw it over the mountains and then some, and he'll run over your linebacker and leap him over. But it is true. I'm telling you, Brian Daboll, what he did with Josh Allen day in and day out was remarkable. The supporting cast, from Stephon Diggs to John Brown to Cole Beasley to Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, they found him weapons all over the place. It's just the polar opposite. I mean, Baker Mayfield, let's say Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens, the Odell relationship just spontaneously combust. It was bad in just about every way, that if you were to kind of switch those scenarios, I think Baker Mayfield would have succeeded in Buffalo, no doubt about it. And I'm not so sure Josh Allen is anything close to Josh Allen that we see today if he's, you know, working with Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens. So it matters, and it's interesting. It's a counterfactual, but I think that's why you have to give this another season, and that's why if you're the Browns, you have to go out of your way to surround this guy with weapons and maybe open up the playbook a little bit. I get it. Hey, it's a run-first offense. That's what the Browns do best. But this is also a guy in Oklahoma who ran a spread and threw it all over. Maybe there's elements of that you can kind of work in. I do get the sense on Baker Mayfield's side that, they kind of want to see how this shakes out this offseason, this spring. I don't think that they're necessarily in a rush to sign a contract anytime soon as well.
How important is it, and you mentioned Jarvis Landry there, I mean, how important is it for the Browns to maybe go after a top-tier wide receiver like Amari Cooper, like an Allen Robinson?
I think it's huge. You got to have a stud. And we've seen teams try to get by with a collection of possession receivers, just a collection of number twos, number threes. You do need that one receiver that's just going to command attention. That's how things took off with Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, when they brought in Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley became the best slot receiver in the NFL in 2020. So it just has such a domino effect that the Cleveland just doesn't have. And, you know, it's tough. If a receiver's available right now, a number one, he's probably available for a reason. So the fact that you do have a Robinson and a Cooper to pick from, I think they're really fortunate. You know, I think Allen Robinson has got some game left. I mean, he's a guy that's had some terrible situations from Jacksonville to Chicago. I know him well. I think he was really, really frustrated in Chicago. He was willing to sign a long-term deal there. In Chicago, for whatever reason, just wasn't that into it. And last season was what it was. But if you can look past this last season, it's just a mess completely, and you get a healthy Allen Robinson, he could be that player that unlocks Baker Mayfield.
I do. I like the idea of Allen Robinson. Tyler Dunn, it was a fascinating read, and you had a lot of really good insight in there, and I appreciate reading it. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Of course, go along. Everyone go and check out the newsletter. I was reading your Sean McDermott 13 seconds piece earlier today as well. That was really good. So we appreciate the time, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. And, spent some time with Wyatt Teller toward the end of this past season, too. So we'll we'll keep the Browns content coming. It's such a fun, fascinating team. No shortage of storylines. So, thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks,
we look forward to it. Thank you, Tyler.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.